Hi, Jason.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Couple That Scares Together.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. And tonight, I think we have a fun episode. I think it's really scary. We're going to discuss Dog Man.
Oh, yes. Not the books. I heard of it. Yeah, those books.
Not the books that...
Those are huge.
Our daughter loves to read.
Those are huge amongst middle school kids.
I think the name is so misleading and so problematic that it promotes that sort of reaction. Some, I think the first people's knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that you're going to talk about a dog-like werewolf creature roaming suburban and rural streets. But it's when you read about these experiences and you listen to them, they are downright terrifying. Downright terrifying. And I'm going to tell you, unlike Bigfoot or any sort of Mothman or cryptid sighting, Dogman sightings are hands down the scariest, and they're all bad. It's all Maleficent. Oh my God, I did it again.
Malevolent.
Yes. Malevolent. Maleficent. Speaking, I think I'd like to watch
Maleficent.
Yeah, I think I'd like to watch. Maleficent.
Shout out to what's her name?
Like
the skinny blonde.
What?
Name. That, like, she's annoying,
a blonde
skinny,
hair? Angelina
like,
Jolie?
Like, yeah, she, like, that's someone needs to give her, like, a donut or pretzel or something. Because, like, oh my God, she's...
Don't, you know what that's called when you're doing that?
I know. You always discuss this.
No, it's called... You're thin shaming.
No, she looks like she's...
Well, no, you
struggling.
Can't say that, though. That's thin shaming.
She looks
like... You can
like
thin
she,
shame me.
All right, fine. Listen, more importantly, speaking of things that are scary...
Okay.
Downright Maleficent or whatever you did,
Maleficent.
Whatever you said there.
What?
I think that we should expect a visitor to our house this evening.
What?
A visitor to our house tonight.
Why? What are you talking about?
Because some small person here
is
hiding a tooth.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so here's the story. So if you listened to our story last night, we told you I went to a psychic and a medium, and who said, what's with the kid that collects coins? And what I should have probably told you is not only is he a collector, but he's also a klepto and a thief. Like, he's a thief. And he will steal things that are, if they appear to have value or importance to somebody.
All the better.
Yeah. Like, Jason has his tiny prayer book.
Oh,
Jason told him
that
one day it was special. So now he takes it. We still haven't found it.
I haven't found it. Mm-hmm. He took this prayer book. It's a small Catholic prayer book that I put by my bed.
Yes.
You know, that was actually a gift. Speaking of last night.
Yeah.
It was a gift that... Nicole's mother gave me when I converted to the church. So anyway, Teddy sees this, covets it, like
Gollum.
From Lord of the Rings. And like one day I went to get it. I'm like, damn, where is it? I can't find it. I looked all over. I'm like, it's Teddy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So he steals things. And he will ask you. He goes to my jewelry box and he'll say, Mommy, is this special? And if I say yes, that's the wrong answer because he'll come back later and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken my wedding ring several times and I found it under his bed. Like in his drawer.
It's like Gollum, exactly.
It really is.
He even looks like him. He's like skinny and wiry, just like Gollum.
So tonight he says to me, Mommy, how does this thing work with the tooth? And I go, the what? He said, the tooth. I said, what do you have? He goes, I have a tooth. How does this tooth fairy thing work? I said, did you lose a tooth? He's 5. So that would be not under the realm of possibility, but he's still pretty young for that. And he hasn't lost any teeth. And he goes, no, I took Morgan's tooth. I said, you took your older sister's tooth? Yeah, I took it. She said, that's fine. I can have her tooth. I want to trade in the tooth for tooth fairy money. I said, oh my gosh.
That's another thing that he does. He steals, like, paper, money, and coins all the time.
Yes, he doesn't understand exactly value, but he knows enough.
He understands it just fine.
Yeah, but he knows enough that it's important to us that he take it, and then he'll always ask, do you have money for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have money for me?
Like, every day.
Yeah.
What else does he steal? Let's just go through the, like,
gems,
laundry
stones.
List of things that he steals. So when we walk the dog, or when we did
rocks.
Walk the dog Scout, because we've... talk about her all the time, and I mentioned on my website, or you know, on our website, the couple that scares together, that I like to walk the dog. So Teddy and the kids like to walk the dog too. Now, you know, was Scout, now it's our new dog Charlie, but Teddy likes to come on these walks. And again, he's, you know, he's a young kid. He's five. Mm-hmm. He takes like really long walks for his age. He can walk like a mile or two, sometimes more.
Yeah.
So when he's walking, Nicole, you know this, that he likes to go into people's yards.
Yes.
Even though he's not supposed to, which mm-hmm. makes, you know, all the better. Go in there and go in their driveways and gardens and steal like colorful stones and pebbles.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, he does it when he leaves school.
What does he do now?
They have like a stone garden. And when we leave school, he looks at me as we're walking, you know, out of the door to the car, and he'll look at the rock pile. And if I say, "Not today, Teddy," he reaches down and grabs a rock and then runs to the car. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I can't make a scene or I shouldn't. Now, sometimes he says, "I'm going to paint them and take them back."
Right, which doesn't happen.
Which doesn't happen. But he does like to paint rocks. But he will give rocks away. He'll wrap them up.
Oh, yeah. His
dance teacher
at school, his dance teacher.
Yeah.
He took money last week. I dropped him off at ballet on Nicole.
Yeah.
He took money, ran in, and gave it to Miss Debbie. And then once he, you know, went in the room, she came back and gave the money back to me and said, he gives me a present every week.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
He's a thief.
Yeah, he's a thief. And so tonight, I guess, he's going to reap the benefits of the Tooth Fairy. But he likes things scary, so I feel like we should do something scary for him. Because he is fearless. And he likes it creepy. Like, he is so consumed with the fact that a stranger is going to come in and try to take his tooth. Mm-hmm. I feel like he might try to stop it and trick him. Like, he's very strange.
He pretends to play dead.
Yes.
Like, multiple times a day.
He's
like,
real good.
Every morning when we go to school, it's just me and the boys. I drive him to school in the morning before work. And he pretends to play dead, like, before we get in the car. Then in the car, he's playing dead. Then sometimes when we get to school, he's playing dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
just, I love it. Sometimes I walk over him and I go, "That's a nice death rattle."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Good job. So there we go. So that's what's happening in our house tonight. So
what else happened tonight?
Well, I don't know. But
I know one thing that happened.
What?
You and Morgan were practicing your Christmas waltz or whatever it was down there. Tell them about that.
No. Well, my daughter isn't a very skilled dancer. She's beautiful.
She's exceptionally skilled.
Yes, she is. And she is 11, but she's been dancing since she was 3. And she's a beautiful ballerina. We love to watch her dance and very talented. I am not. However, I like to take...
Don't sell yourself short. You were very gracious out there.
Stop.
It's like
I take an adult
Gene Kelly and,
ballet class.
Who was the one with Gene Kelly? Fred Astaire.
Sarah and Gene Kelly.
And Gene Kelly, yeah. What was I saying? That's all. Doesn't matter.
That's not right.
Fred Astaire.
That Gene Kelly's a man.
Who was his female dance companion?
Oh, God. Now this is awful.
What's the woman?
Yeah, stop. Don't talk. I'll think about it.
Don't talk. Listen, if you can tell us who that is.
No, stop. I'll find it by the time this is over.
Fine.
Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers. Okay. I knew that. I was going to say Ginger Rogers.
Yes. Well, I am not.
Fred Astaire, not Gene Kelly. He's a male actor.
Gene Kelly was the one who did Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do like to do it, but I'm terrible at it. But I need to get better because if we ever have a performance in the June show, they call it, the moms who take the class are supposed to perform. So Morgan helps me so I don't look like a fool.
Maybe what we should do is just like do a tiny little snippet
video
and post it
that's
on our website.
No,
the couple of scares together.
No, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to gyrate. All right. That's an encounter we'll scarier than Dog Man.
Oh, that's... No, that's not true at all, people. I have firsthand knowledge. it's quite wonderful.
Well, we're going to talk about Dogman tonight. And I want you to know that I found the best website ever. And it's called dogmanencounters.com. It's a great website.
Sounds exciting.
It really is. Okay, so I want to read you the intro to the website just so you know how great this is. Okay? It says, have you seen a creature that looked like a werewolf? If you have, you're not crazy and you're not alone. What you saw wasn't a werewolf. It's what's called a dogman. More people than you'll ever know have had dogman encounters. Unfortunately, most of them don't know who they can talk to about their encounters. That's where I come in. My name is Vic Cundiff. It's C-U-N-D-I-F-F. And I help dogman eyewitnesses deal with the trauma of their dogman encounters.
He's a therapist?
I don't know. Seeing a creature that looks as scary as dogman doesn't doesn't an easy experience to get over. Most eyewitnesses fear being labeled as crazy or for being laughed at by friends and family if they share their experience with them.
Right.
That's why most of the dogman eyewitnesses keep their encounters to themselves and consequently suffer in silence. I call that the prison without walls effect. I created dogmanencounters.com and Dogman Encounters Radio to combat that problem. If you're a dogman eyewitness, you now have someone you can turn to for help, me. If you've had a dogman encounter of your own, I'd be glad to help you come to terms with your experience and deal with it. If you've had a dogman encounter, please submit a report and I'll contact you so we can talk about your experience. The details of your encounter will remain between the two of us if you don't want to share your experience on the website or the show. Understand that I do not record phone conversations unless the eyewitness knows beforehand that our conversation will be recorded for the show. Also, so that you know, your voice can be altered and you can use an alternate name if you'd like to remain anonymous.
Is this that, like, that radio DJ in Michigan? Or is that a whole different story?
Maybe that's, I don't know.
Okay, because there's a dog man song. Did you come across that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. We'll get to that. I don't know if right. the, I don't,
sorry, I don't
it's
want
pos- to, no, like, well, it's it. Possible there's a connection, but this website is so amazing for a couple reasons. One, there's a whole site just devoted to this cryptid experience.
Really?
Yeah. Also, it's categorized by state. So you can click on the different states.
Well, that isn't, so I don't want to keep like jumping in, but that's not like all that unique because Bigfoot has like that kind of stuff.
Yes, but with Bigfoot, I think it's very segmented and there's really strong opinions in Bigfoot. Bigfoot, me, and by the way, I'm a moderator for the Bigfoot on Facebook.
Tell him.
I already told him.
But what, remind people who may have forgotten.
I'm a moderator for one of the Facebook groups for about Bigfoot. And
I'm married to a moderator.
Oh my gosh. There's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of people that are just sure of themselves. There's a lot of like people that think they're experts. There's a lot of people that are very cagey and they're like, don't trust so-and-so. He's a fraud. He'll set you up. Yeah. Oh, it's cagey. And it's all male-driven.
Of course.
Okay. And the Bigfoot people, there's a spectrum from, I don't want to, that's not true. I do want to, call out. No, I want to ostracize the weirdos. There's a spectrum from people that are, I would say.
Ostracize our listeners.
No, there's people that are reasonable, right? That are like, I'll look at Les Stroud's information. I'll talk about others. And then there's people that are just like off the rails who are like tree knocking and whooping up in just the woods by themselves, right? Or they're like, I was kidnapped by Bigfoot. You know, those people that are just like off the rails. So Bigfoot groups are big and you got a lot of strong personalities and they're very male dominant. And I'm not to say too much, but they're very, I don't even know what to say.
Very
they have
what?
A lot of testosterone, those groups.
So they're what?
They're very just like
jerks, you're saying?
Alpha males, some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dogman is different. So Dogman seems to have less of a cult following, but people are embarrassed to say they've had an experience. And when I think of Dogman, I think of Linda Godfrey. Because she's the one who wrote Monsters in America, and she's the one who really brought this to life, to really talk about Dogman. And she was somebody who just was gathering these experiences by happenstance and came across a plethora of people that do this. And what appears to be different from Bigfoot and Dogman, I mean, if we're making a comparison, is Dogman seems to, like, prey on people's fear and weakness and like, people aren't searching for them. They're not hunting the woods.
That's the difference, then, is that Bigfoot is just out there and wants to be left alone.
I think so.
Living his life.
Sure.
Versus
and a lot of people seek him out.
Is a, like, maleficent being.
I think so. Very much so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Like, you happen to be camping and you get too close and then something throws rocks at you. Like, that's a Bigfoot experience, right? You're camping. Right. Somebody follows you. You feel like a presence. You got to get out of the woods. Dogman is like the kind of like runs in front of your fucking car, stands up on 2 feet and then follows you home.
Yeah.
Like it's real scary shit.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's real scary. So that's the difference. So tonight I want to share with you some of the ones that scared me and resonated with me. And I want to start.
Well, tell us about him. Like, what's he all about, this
Dog Man character? All right, well, so there's a lot, there's some general sort of descriptors when you come to it, okay?
All right.
They are, it's a an animal that walks on 2 feet, a bipedal animal, right? Covered in hair, perhaps it has an elongated snout like a dog, but you can tell isn't a dog, isn't a wolf. And often it's associated with, like, you don't really feel control over your mind, that you feel compelled. Oh, he's getting in your mind? Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of, like, the Skinwalker legends. Okay?
Interesting, okay.
Yes.
That's really scary, then.
It is. All right, so we're going to start, and this story is from Pennsylvania. And I tried to pick the ones in our surrounding area, like... Oh, that's our cat.
That's our cat.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, like in our area. Okay, so here's the first one. Okay, and this comes from the website, thedogmanencounters.com.
Where at in PA did they say?
They did, and I did not
write Western, it down. Western part of
Washington
the state?
County.
All right. I think, I'm not exactly sure where that is. Okay. I think it's like upstate.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they seem to be like out towards... Away mm-hmm. from us. All right. My husband was on his way to work around 4 a.m. on a rural road while rounding an S-bend when his headlights hit a large, dark brown figure that was sitting about 30 feet off the road, watching the road. He described the figure as a four foot tall, sitting with legs bent out in front of it, wolf-like face, large pointed ears, does not remember eye shine, doesn't remember that.
Okay.
Leaning back on human-like arms. My husband immediately felt endangered. This is one that resonates with dog men encounters. Everybody feels endangered. And floored his vehicle's accelerator. This man has no fear of humans. I've known him for 30 years, and I've never seen him afraid of a natural being. He's hunted and fished since childhood. It took him a couple years before he told me about his sighting. He said his first thought... was that the thing could catch this car, rip me up, and eat me if it wanted to. Like, he was paranoid and had his head on a swivel all that day. Still to this day, he cannot drive past the location without feeling some kind of way. That's what he says.
I'd love to, like, just...
Nope.
Go by. Just to, like, drive by.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Scope it out.
Yeah. The second sighting occurred in 2010 and happened to a coworker. I noticed she was acting strangely whenever we talked about about spooky things. So I asked her what was up, and she said, okay, don't think I'm crazy. And then she went on to tell me how one night she was driving home from a late second shift between midnight and 1 a.m., about 5 or so miles from where the first sighting had occurred, so in the same vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
She had to slow down to near a stop to turn on the road that would take her home. That's when she began to hear what sounded like running along her side her car.
So, like, this thing is a...
It's a predator.
It's obviously fast, too. Because
yes.
It can run, like, yes. Run along cars.
That's when she began to hear what sounded like... Okay. That's when she glanced out her driver's window and saw the most horrible face. Her first thought was werewolf. She described it as being black and gray in color with large teeth. She said she didn't look at it again, but she could hear it running next to her car until she reached about 45 miles per hour.
But, like, would that be your first thought that...
What would be my first thought?
Is like...
Yes.
Coyote.
No.
I'm not saying that, like, to discount her story, right. But, like, your first idea, like, your first thought is that werewolf?
Yeah, because when you're... scared, you think of the most awful, non-rational things.
I would think wild animal.
Oh, maybe. I don't think. Well, I think someone's trying to kill me.
wild animal could do that.
She said, so she got her car up to about 45 miles per hour on this back road. She said, there's no joke on that back road. She was scared out of her wits. After arriving home, she ran to the door, dropped her keys, went inside, closed all the curtains, and did not sleep a wink that night. We're both nurses, and I've known her for about seven years. She grew up in New York and is not a storyteller. Neither of these people like to talk about their sightings. You can see a change in them when their encounters are brought up. I don't need to see one to believe them. I know they exist. And the times that they happened were both around midnight when the encounters occurred. So I really think that... like, this is like a theme in that, is that they don't want to share their stories. They're that scared. And
or embarrassed, potentially.
Well, a lot of them feel like even uttering the words will bring this upon them again.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's very scary. All right, here's another one. I was hunting during doe season in the woods. I parked my truck on a side of the road in Washington County. Mm-hmm. But it was right on the border near Greene County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anywhere, I was in a tree stand looking for deer and heard a lot of rustling leaves near me. Then I saw this wolf-like thing running on its hind legs. It stopped for a moment, sniffed the air, and then ran off.
Running on its hind legs.
Uh-huh. I sat in that tree stand for hours till the sun was high in the sky. Then I cautiously returned to my truck. I gave up hunting after this
experience.
Dude, I
would have got down right away with that tree stand and gone, like, I'm done.
Well, I guess if you're in the tree and you think it hasn't spotted you and you just, like, freeze.
I mean, you're vulnerable up there. I mean, you're holding a weapon. I would imagine he has a gun or...
Yes, but he's hunting.
Or a bow. But I don't know that I would have stayed around.
And that took place early morning, like hunting season.
Yeah.
And it was November of 1987. So this person, like, wrote down their encounter before this website existed. Wow.
Or at least could, you know, like, go back to it from...
Right, I guess,
kind.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was profound, just, right?
Sure.
Okay, here's one, and this comes from West Virginia. Okay, I'm a 32-year-old lady from the very northern tip of West Virginia. Most of my life has been lived in Hancock County. When I was little, we camped in tents, walked everywhere, hiked at parks, all that outside goodness. In my teens, we started going to state parks to ride horses.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to... Tomlinson Run, Beaver Creek State Park, Salt Fork is where the Bigfoot conference is, okay. Raccoon Creek, and Vista Park. I think that was the name. We had a friend who was constantly inviting us to ride on people's land she had received permission from. I'm well acquainted with the local wildlife. I've seen all the major players, including coyotes, bears. I can identify most sounds in the forest. I love watching nature documentaries. I was looking to become a vet, so I studied a lot on animals. Drawing and painting them got me very acquainted into the animal anatomy. Was I ever into cryptozoology? Yes, I was dino crazy little girl. One of my babysitters had a Reader's Digest, Mysteries of the Unexplained, and the thought of a plesiosaur in Scotland was just mind-blowing. So obviously that person is, you know, likes that kind of stuff. Yes. Later in life, I started looking at it like folklore. It was interesting to read the accounts and learn the theories behind what people were saying, but I believed in them as much as a folklorist believes in dragons and trolls. I didn't have any interest in Bigfoot, and I never even heard of Dogman. I'd never had any interest in looking, nor did the thoughts ever cross my mind. It seems I didn't need to go looking. They found me. We moved to the farm when I was 10 years old. Mom's dream was to have horses, and she was finally able to live it. The farmhouse was haunted, mainly by former residents of the house.
Oh, nice.
I never felt threatened by them, though it was a little unnerving to have two men talking and moving the couch you're sitting on. Or should I say, it sounded like that. No one was home. No media was on, and yet I was hearing two men talking about how they were going to move the couch or where the sound of the furniture being dragged right on from under me. And that's creepy.
That's weird, yeah.
The land itself had its share of strangeness. Most things were benign, though. We just shrugged it off and carried on. I honestly hated our woods. Everywhere else, I'd freely hiked, but even in the yard, sometimes I felt watched. Heck, sometimes I thought something was staring in our own windows. Now that I think of it, we did have things slam into our trailer. I think it was a horse that got loose, but when I'd go out there to investigate, I'd find nothing. I chalked it up to a deer. I used my horses' breeds for their names, rather than think up names for them. Anyone who knows me knew my horses by horse's name, I guess. Okay. I was 18 to 19 in this encounter. By the time we gave up on cows, I hate them, she said, and just had horses and chickens. Someone knocked on the door at 2 a.m. I'd only been asleep for 2 hours, but years of conditioning had my heart pounding and my mind clearing. Someone knocking that early meant trouble. It usually meant horses or livestock had gotten out. What, Teddy?
Can I have a waffle and hot sauce?
No, you cannot have a waffle and hot sauce.
Not hot sauce,
Brody, eat one.
No, he shouldn't. Tell him he's in trouble. God, thank you. So, no.
We're still recording.
Yeah, we're still recording. No, at 8:30 at night, you can't have a waffle and hot sauce. Don't even know why you would want one. But no, we're not going to do that. Okay.
I can't
imagine what kind of dreams you would have if you ate waffles and hot sauce. But no, Teddy, you can't. All right, let's get back to our story.
Okay, I thought we had stopped.
No, I didn't. I kept going.
All right.
So somebody knocks on the door at 2 a.m. She's conditioned. It usually means trouble. It usually means the horses of the livestock have gotten out. I wasn't disappointed. Our neighbor said that the horses were in his yard. My mind wasn't totally awake, so I didn't think to ask which yard they were in. My stepfather came out and asked what was up and told me there were my horses, they're my horses, so deal with it. Mom was working. That was nothing new. This lot of horses had three expert escape artists. I had the routine down. It was pretty dark out, but I did have some moonlight to help. The security light went on, light only went so far. And then, of course, it shut off after so long. Oh my God, people living out in the country. When it was cloudy.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
When it was cloudy, you literally had to watch that you didn't walk off the ravine. It was so pitch black.
Oh, well, that sounds a little dangerous.
Okay, so I was naturally in a foul mood.
We lost a lot of pets that way.
Oh, my God. Cursing my horses and wondering if some drunk had gone through the fence. Again, it happened a lot. As I got closer to the brown barn, I realized the horse was flipping out. It was running back and forth, squealing and carrying on. I went in and grabbed the halters and leads. I paused for a moment to see if the other horse had replied to the horse I heard squeal. That would give me an idea where the other horses or horses might be. There was no reply, and that was odd. I was thinking, crap, they're all the way on the other side of the hill. It was the only reason in my mind that they wouldn't be replying. Let's just say, when they followed our cut trails to the other side, it took us an hour to traverse the woods and lead them back. And even with two guys on a four-wheeler and my mom, that was a freaky trek. I felt like I was being watched and followed, and maybe it wasn't paranormal or paranoia. So the land is set up like this. The brown barn was connected to a small pasture and about half an acre long, which connects to a 7-acre pasture. Pretty much in the center, on the outside edge of a large pasture, was an old white barn we turned into a run-in. What's a run-in? Do you know?
Like a clearing, I guess, where they can like run into like an open space or something.
Okay.
Like a corral kind of thing.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know for sure.
Obviously, we're real good with cattle.
I mean, I was horses. A roper from like way back.
No, you're not.
Of course not.
Okay. I decided to tackle the horse still in the fence so I could bring her down to the small pasture and keep her from escaping too. Maybe the others would follow. I had to walk clear to the other side of the pasture to get to the panicking horse. It was my mother's psycho Appaloosa mare. I tried to catch her and nearly got trampled a few times trying. She was frothing at the mouth and her eye whites were really, really showing.
The mare was?
Yes.
That sounds, she's really scared.
Yeah.
Frothing's not good.
That's not good.
Worked up.
I noticed my other six were across the road. They were standing in a tiny little fenced-in area under a spotlight. They were standing motionless and not touching a blade of grass. I was wondering how the neighbor managed to herd them into a tiny fenced-in area with that tiny door. Three of the horses were over 16 hands tall. One was a draft horse.
Oh, so like, yeah.
The doorway was actually small enough he touched both sides going through. My thoroughbred mare took me 2 hours to corral. The last time she got out, much to my frustration, she was an awesome jumper. So a stranger rounding them up and putting them into a tiny yard was mind-blowing. I've had horses since I was 9. I'm 32 now. I've had ponies and horses and she says all kinds of stuff. I've had a lot of horses from all walks of life. And I will tell you, they consistently do not like to be crammed into tight spaces, especially not in a group. I had two severely abused horses. I was rehabbing a thoroughbred that actually had PTSD and a racking horse that actually took me 3 years to touch without some sort of bad reaction. All right. So she is now gathering up her horses. And so we're back to her story. We kind of got sidetracked there for a second. All right. We had an episode with waffles and hot sauce for the kids. They're fine. It's fine.
It's not fine.
You'll be happy to know. You'll be happy to know. Everybody has a snack there now. Everybody's fine. All right. So she's talking about the horses. They did not like to be in stalls. They did not like to be not like being in stalls, and all but one were mares. Mares are extremely moody, and two of mine were particularly vicious to those they didn't like. My walker mare only liked three other horses. She should have been kicking the crap out of the others there. Mine also didn't like to be under lights when they escaped. They avoided them like the plague. And not eating grass that was over ankle deep, that's unheard of. They were silent and dead still. So obviously, something's wrong with the horses.
Well, they're spooked, obviously. Yes.
My neighbor came out and told me that they were like that when he found them. He asked me if I needed help, but I said no. My thoroughbred and racking mares did not like men, and I told him I'd take them out one at a time. I took one halter on and lead and threw the rest outside the gate. I put the halter on my gelding and opened the gate to lead him out. They had other plans, though. All six came out as a freaking unit. They were literally chest to bump crammed together. My gelding and my Welsh mare had their chest pushing against me as we were walking back to the brown barn. Normally, they did not do this. I wouldn't usually allow such bad behavior. We were on the main road, which I do not like. The speed limit is only 35, but people go 60. So I tried to lead them through the large pasture gate. They wouldn't even go on that side of the road, though. I was a little unnerved by their behavior, so I led them down to the brown barn they went in. They were skittish, though, picking at the hay I threw out, walking around restlessly, sticking to the barn like glue, and eyeing the upper pasture. I rationalized it by thinking it's the Abbey flipping out that's unnerving them, and that's why they hadn't come down, and why hadn't she come down yet? She had to have seen them all walk down. I rushed to the gate between the little and the big pastures out of habit. I didn't want the herd to go back out into the big pasture. I didn't have to worry. They didn't follow me like they usually did. The gate was wide open, but the Abbey was still running and squealing back and forth in the same area. I started to go get her. Now the neighbor's security lights didn't really light up my pasture. The road was higher than my pasture, so it was cast in a shadow, and I could make out the shape in some small detail, though. She took off at a panic gallop, swerving sideways and jumping the stream. When she landed, she nearly landed on her face. She caught herself, though, and took off at a dead gallop again. I ducked behind a stump. If she would have hit me, I would have been dead. I went back and chained the gate. I decided to forego looking for her over until I got the halters and leads. She was too hot at the moment. I decided to walk the road instead of through the pasture again. The pasture was uneven, unlit, and full of springs. Sometime during this, clouds had overtaken the sky, so there was no moonlight to see by. The spot on the road where I was at was paved and pretty well lit, though. My neighbor was paranoid, as I mentioned. I had almost gotten to the white barn when I got this sudden urge to stop and look at a specific spot in the pasture.
Oh, no.
I would like to say it was instinct that told me to look, but usually I'd scan the woods first to see what was watching me. That's usually where the watchers are.
The watchers?
Okay. Instead, I just flicked my flashlight right on a certain spot. It was extremely close to where the mare was flipping out, and I saw red eye shine.
Oh.
My first thought was, why in the world would a deer be there with all that chaos?
Could have been a cat.
With red eyeshine?
I don't know.
No. Well, think of what are the animals with red eyeshine?
Cats.
They have red eyeshine?
No, it's like yellowish. Yellow. Deer are yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're out.
Yeah, what are red?
Spawning for deer. Jersey Devil?
Oh, it's the Jersey Devil, the Mothman, or Dogman.
Dogman.
Yeah. I was feeling a sense...
Listen, don't forget, like, this is West Virginia.
Yes, it is.
Where there's, like, an incredible amount of paranormal, like, UFO activity and the like.
Yeah. I was feeling a sense of extreme dread and didn't know why. Besides it being where my horse was going nuts, told me something else was just wasn't right. I then realized where the eyes were relative to the walnut trees and my racing barrels. See, the road is above the pasture, and the walnut trees were right at the same elevation as the road. The pasture itself is sloped to deal with the runoff from the road. The barrel it was next to was on the low end of the incline. The barrels were white, so I could see dim lighting with my flashlight on the one it was next to. This thing was too freaking big to be a deer. I was frozen, standing there watching it. I just had this feeling it was evil, and that I had to keep track of those eyes. It was watching me. It slowly blinked a few times It also looked over into the woods above the pasture. I know you ask your guests if they ever feel like there are other ones out there. Well, let me tell you, it crossed my mind. With a sinking stomach, I flashed my flashlight over the woods to see if I could catch eye shine.
Oh, so...
Like more.
Well, if they're like dogs in any way or wolves or anything, like they're packers.
Well, usually that's not true. With dogmen, they're usually singular. Like they're usually...
Solitary.
You know, that's all. But that's not true. Maybe there's more information about it. I'm not an expert. I didn't see any though. So I went right back to the eyes. They were still there. I flicked back and forth, making sure there was nothing sneaking up on me. I don't know how long I stood there, watching, frozen. Someone could have come along the bend and hit me with the car. I was so focused. Finally, it started to move off. It glanced at me sideways a few times, only one eye.
The sunlight. Give her the sunlight.
Yeah. I think it went into the crops of trees around the creek. I heard nothing. That wasn't surprising, though. The horses were still restless and making noises. I stood there a long time after, looking for eye shine. I was wondering if it could have been a bear. I didn't think so, though. The eyes were consistent in height until it disappeared. Bears are clumsy on their back legs. On this uneven inclined ground, I have no doubt a bear would have dropped to the ground to go on all fours.
Yeah, for sure, because if it's going to go at you, it wouldn't come at you from like...
Even the rear up and drop down behavior bears do... when they're trying to see something wouldn't work. We had one cross our pasture before. It made a lot of noise going through the woods. The horses settled down quickly with the bear. I was almost to my neighbor's house at this point. I considered leaving the couple $100 of tack. I considered leaving the couple $100 of tack at his house. Halters and leads aren't cheap. I had no doubt if I left them there, they'd be gone in the morning. My mother would be pissed. So I darted over, grabbed them, and ran like a bat out of hell. I know, I should have left the tack. I also know that you're not supposed to run, but I wasn't even convinced of what I'd just seen. I got into the barn, threw the tack down, and hung with the horses. I wasn't going back out in the pitch dark driveway on foot. I figured with the horses, I'd have warning, and the barn had plenty of sharp things. I didn't go back up until dawn. I was frozen stiff by that time. I've had years to think this over. It unnerves the crap out of me. How long was that thing there? Was that what was keeping that appy mare from coming down? Was it right there in the shadows while I was trying to catch her? Or was it in the unlit barn I walked through to get to the road?
God, this is a creepy story.
Was it the reason that the Abbey swerved and nearly fell? How did my horses get out? I never did find how they got out. Did they panic and jump the fence? I did check the fence line away from the woods. I did look for tracks around the barrel. Sadly, the ground was hard from the frost that morning. But I will say the Abbey mare was running for a good while. The ground was severely torn up, turned into a muddy mess. It was high noon when I went down there to check, and the ground had melted. I bet it was her that woke up the neighbor. It took them about a week to fully settle. I don't know if whatever it was still in my area or they were that traumatized. It wasn't too long after that my mother filed for divorce. My ex-stepfather got the farm, and I moved in with her in the city. even with all that weird crap going on, I miss it terribly. Maybe it's more accurate to say I miss the farm life rather than the actual place. I'd love to go back onto that farm again one day, but I'd probably hesitate to move back there. I've never told anyone about the eyeshine event. I didn't see the actual creature, really. How do you convey that unnatural horror-inducing feeling? You saw eyeshine, whoop-de-doo. My mom would have given me the benefit of the doubt, but my mom often told family members other things that, you know, so she doesn't...
Sure.
She doesn't want to give anybody any more ammo to, like, use against her. But that's her story about her experience. So, and that's very typical.
Yeah, well, what's our takeaway from that story?
I mean, typical... well, takeaway is this. It's a predator, right? We don't know what it was doing with the horses, right?
Well, we don't even know what it is necessarily. Like, she's not saying that she saw the dog man. She just has, like,
it just sort of fits.
Feeling that whatever it was bad. It was there for, like, bad intent.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah, like I remember, do you remember the story from Monsters in America? Or I think it's one of Linda Gottfried's books.
Monsters Among Us? Which one are you talking about?
Well, it was Linda's book.
The book.
That did, and she had the sewer grate. Do you remember that? It was a Dogman experience in that book, in which it was in a city.
I remember her, like, reading her book. I don't remember that story now.
Well, if you have a chance, go back and check out her book, because she really documents Dogman experiences rather well.
In the
well.
City, though? I don't remember.
It was in the city.
I can't recall it being in the
city. In the city, and they, yeah, a couple of them were. And it was, it's solitary, typically, mm-hmm. all by itself, right? And that it peeked out of, like, a sewer grate or something and scared.
What? That really, like, reminds me of, personally, is Skinwalker Ranch.
It does.
Like, how it freaks out.
How it freaks out animals and stuns them.
It freaks out the animals. It freaked out the cows.
Yes.
The horses, like, had a lot of issues.
Yes.
The Skinwalker Ranch book that we read, which I can't remember off the top of my head now what it's called, but the bulls, which were, like, humongous animals, mm-hmm. were just traumatized mm-hmm. by this event.
Absolutely.
And that's what I, you know, was just got to thinking. But then the worst part was, at the very end to me, when she said that her parents got divorced and her stepfather got the farm and she had to move to the city.
Apparently. Yeah, which lost
what
her horses.
Downer.
Yeah, that's sad. You ready for another? So I'm going to give you another one. This is from Montgomery County, Maryland.
Oh, I know where that is.
Of course we do. So, this is right outside D.C.
Yeah, it's like right, this is like suburban, mm-hmm. like, and, you know, it's urban and suburban.
Yes.
Actually.
So, I grew up in Maryland, so this is kind of, you know, near where I grew up. Before I read the story, I am actually looking for another story, and have you heard the story about the, I'm not going to say game warden. Because I think it wasn't.
Oh.
Have you heard this one?
Uncle Justin?
Yeah, Uncle Justin will talk to me about this.
My brother's a game warden.
Yeah, he won't talk to me about this. He thinks we're ridiculous, but
he's
fine.
A game warden.
Fine. But there is a story. If you have this story or you've seen it or come across it, will you point me in the right direction?
What's the story?
Okay, so the story is that a game warden or a state park official or somebody
Uncle Justin?
Yes, okay. In that kind of profession, got a call about a deer on the side of the road, goes out to retrieve the deer.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in his truck, goes out to the road, goes to the side of the road, puts the deer in the truck. He starts.
Dead deer?
Dead deer.
You're saying?
Dead deer, yeah. Right. Just clean up the side of the road. He goes, and he's driving.
Where it runs at? Yes, I've heard this.
Yes, it runs at him.
Tell the story.
And this dog-like creature, or this creature, he doesn't, hits the back of his truck about the hitch, and carries off the deer, like pulls it off and takes the deer with him.
I've absolutely heard this.
Yes.
I think I read about it before and also watched it on TV, like reenactment of that situation with this guy.
Right.
Who, by the way, he was credible, a very plausible, you would think. Like a very credible human being with a plausible story.
And did not want to be known.
Yeah.
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 All right. So here, this counter comes from Montgomery County, Maryland.
All right. Hit it.
Okay. And this comes from...
Wait. Before I forget, the last two episodes, I don't believe that we said that we went to the, like, our catchphrase and away we go.
And I did last
what
time.
What did we do? I don't...
Last time
I don't
we did.
Think we did it today.
Maybe not.
We're losing our fastball here.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, away we go again.
Away we go. Yeah. It's a little late, but...
One morning around 6 a.m. about 2 years ago, I was living not far from Washington, D.C., and a friend of mine needed a roommate to afford the rent for the apartment he had found.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I was told about this, my first thought was, oh, yeah, here's my chance to move out of my parents' house. After about 6 months of living in the area, I noticed that on certain nights, I would hear loud roars in the distance. I could never tell how far away the noise was coming from. It would sometimes sound nearby or just far enough away that I wouldn't mind being outside to see what might be making the sound from a safe distance. I lived in a quiet wooded area. A lot of people lived in the area. I actually lived within 5 minutes walking distance away from the University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
One morning,
like College Park area.
One morning around 6 a.m., I was just snapped awake from a deep sound sleep for no reason at all. I started to go back to sleep, but I thought to myself, why am I wide awake and alert? It was strange. I was completely awake. Then right in my backyard, I heard a low, deep growl. That's when I knew something was up. The moment I heard that, I knew. That was why I was awake. I remained quiet and didn't move for the next 5 to 10 minutes as this thing started to become very active in my backyard. It went from low growls to heavy breathing. This thing's lung had to be massive because it sounded like the exact way a horse would if it was standing right next to it. When it breathed through its nose, it sounded more like a horse, but this thing sounded like it was more aggressive. I knew it wasn't a horse in my backyard. That wouldn't be possible, but what I saw was very real. It literally ran from my backyard into the dividing fence of my backyard and my neighbor's backyard, and again and again. It made no sense for it to be doing that.
It's just like, I guess, back and forth?
Yeah. It would often stop and sniff around and sneeze very loudly. It sounded like it was right next to my window, and I was on the second floor. I didn't want to look out the window because I thought that there's no way in the world no one else is hearing this right now but me. I thought, this thing is trying to get my attention on purpose. I stayed still in bed without moving, and I was beyond scared. I really thought it was a werewolf, even before I saw it. I always thought that they were real. The guys that lived below me started yelling and screaming, El Diablo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over and over again, they yelled that. I could hear the thing leaving the backyard, so I hurried to try and get a look at it. When I did, all I saw was its backside. The thing was massive, with broad shoulders like a bodybuilder, and had ears sticking straight up its head. It slowly walked away until I lost sight of it. And this comes from Cornell Murray. That's his name.
El Diablo, the devil.
So you know what's scary about that? This is not in the country.
No? It's definitely not country.
This is not on a road, dark at night, when you're not supposed to be driving by yourself, and you're coming from third shift. I don't know, you know, something like a horror movie. This is your damn backyard in the morning.
In like a highly residential populated area. Yeah, like it's right outside D.C.
And that's what I think is so scary about some of these encounters, is it comes into your world, right? A lot of peering through windows, a lot of following people. It seems to have a real intelligence about it.
Well, the scariest thing is what that, like, to me, what that says is, like, you're not safe anywhere.
Correct.
If you think you're safe because you've got people around you,
correct,
please forget about it.
Correct. You're absolutely
correct. El Diablo is coming to get you.
Coming to get you.
What a great story.
I think.
By the way, that reminds me, years ago, friends of ours lived in Montgomery County, Maryland. I'm trying to remember.
They did.
Where did Eric and Lisa live? I can't recall.
Well, they lived outside of D.C.
Kensington?
Yes.
I got it. Rockville and Kensington.
Yes.
Like, right in that area. Right in Montgomery County, in the heart of Dogman territory. Yeah. Who knew?
Yep. All right, I think we have time for one more. You want one more?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one comes from Maine. Okay?
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, yes, Maine. Oxford County, Maine.
Never heard of it, okay. But that's okay.
I'm a night owl. I always stay up late at night and watch TV. I just happened to look out my window one night and saw what I initially thought was a man sitting on a roof. I thought it was a man because at first he looked almost naked until I saw the hair and fur on him. He then turned his face, and what I saw then was frightening. He had pointed ears like a dog and a long snout.
That sounds like Ron Jeremy.
Perfect. They were almost like a German Shepherd's ears. I could not understand what I was looking at. I just stared at it for a few more minutes. I felt like if I moved, it would see me. It sat there on its butt with human-looking arms and legs, but with hair or fur covering them. I backed away from the window very slowly and went to tell my husband. He didn't want to get up and go look. He thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. When I went back to the window, it was gone. I don't know or understand what I saw that night, but I did tell my husband and the kids what I saw. It has haunted me for many years until I was telling a few of my grandchildren recently at camp. One of them got on the computer and found some pictures of what they thought I meant. It was so scary. I was looking at the same thing that I saw on the roof that night. I could not believe it. As I sit here looking at that picture, I did not know it really existed many, many years ago.
And it was a picture of what?
A dog man. That's what people are doing. Like, some of these encounters people have had years and years ago before any of this was documented or anything else, and then they describe it, and people mm-hmm. go, let me go to the internet. And they pull up what other people's versions are, and they're like, that's what I saw.
It's crazy.
Isn't that scary?
I mean, yeah, it is kind of scary.
It's scary.
I don't want to see one of those things.
I don't want to see
any. I mean, I kind of do, but I don't.
I totally don't want to see one of those things. Well, I'm trying to think of what sort of situation in which I would. Because I don't want to see it near my home.
Sitting like in your car where you know you're safe.
You know you're safe in your drive. Car?
Well, I mean.
Have you ever watched How many dogs open up a door? Well, they're running beside my car and tearing into it.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I'm gonna run out of gas. I'm gonna cause a car accident.
I would run out of gas because I had done that before.
How many times?
Two times recently in the past couple of months.
You know, but he always is very confused by it and doesn't know what happened, and he almost makes it like it's the car's fault. Like, I just don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Can you bring me gas?
That's true. I did say.
Are you on E? I don't know. I guess I must be. I don't know. Maybe it's that.
And there's no alarm with it.
Maybe it's that.
Perhaps. Perhaps it malfunctioned.
And then this is my favorite when he says this. I'm not a mechanic. And I was like, nobody's asking you to. We're just asking you to put gas in the car.
Maybe.
I don't know, Nicole. I'm not a mechanic. Right. What does that have to do with gas? I don't know.
I'm not an engineer, for God's sake. Stop.
This is what I mean by
mechanical engineer.
Oh my God. This is what I mean by any other wife in the whole world would be like, you fucking asshole. I'm going to fucking kill you. And I just go, okay.
It's happened before. It happened, I don't want to say, but like once at work, I had to have one of my coworkers.
No, you didn't.
Hey, Will. Recently? Yeah, no. I ran
into
a couple like this.
You didn't even tell me.
Like, why would I? It was like two, 3 weeks ago. No, it was like 3 weeks ago. Oh. I ran out of gas. But here's why. Let me explain how this happened.
I'd like to know.
So, first of all, the reason is because the previous car that I was using, I work in sales, so I do like a lot of traveling and so forth.
Okay.
So this vehicle.
You're like traveling locally.
Yeah, but still traveling.
It's
all
not
time
cross country.
No, it's okay. Not cross country. That's not the point.
Okay.
I do a lot of, you know, traveling around in the car.
Sure.
A lot of driving.
Right, but the point is you should know better.
Proper nomenclature is driving. So anyway, I should know better, but listen, let me just tell the story.
Okay, I'm listening.
So here's the problem. There is no bell that goes off or anything like that, or, you know, a button that lights up on the dash or anything like that when the gas.
You would like
is
you want
up.
A bell?
Yeah, like a beep or like a light that lights up so you know, hey, the car's on E.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean?
So
you've
then
got,
you
like,
drive
X
it on
number
E.
Of miles left.
Right.
No, just something, you know, to let me know, hey. You've got to get gas.
You don't think the sign on E is...
Well, it's my story. Yeah, perhaps that would... I should pay
okay.
more attention. I understand that.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't, you know, or haven't, or don't, whatever. The whole point is, it's not entirely my fault because there is... Because I'm, you know, they should have Toyota or whoever, whatever kind of... No, it's a Ford. It's a Ford. Ford should, you know... there should be an alarm there. There should be a notice. There should be a bell. There should be a beep. There should be a light to say, hey, listen, you
right.
know, because I'm not Henry Ford. Like, I didn't invent the car, the automobile.
Nobody's asking you to. Here's the thing. There are two kind of people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The people that when your tank gets to half full go, I think I should probably get gas. And then there are people that are like, oh my God, it's on E. I wonder what happened.
I got a couple more miles I can get out of this.
It's on E. I wonder what happened.
No, so what I did was...
So why don't you just fill up?
I called Will and said, hey, listen, something's happened to the car. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you
it's
know...
It's the same conversation with me.
I'm just driving down the road. Next thing I know, like, you know, the car just... I pull off the car stop. I look at the gas gauge and it's empty. Like, who knew?
He was like, so you ran out
He's
of gas.
He's like, so where are you? And I'm like, well, I'm pretty far from the office. You know, I'm like, so, you know, long story short, Will had to go to the gas station and purchase a
Stop.
Gas
you come
can.
By my house.
He purchased a gas can. It was $16, I think, or $18, one or the other. He purchased a can with his own money.
Oh, my.
He put gas. Now, he didn't pay for the gas. The company does that
it's
with the
very
car.
Gracious of him.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's our job.
Right.
So he,
you don't. By the way, you don't even have to pay for your own gas.
No, the company.
There's
pays
no
for
reason
gas.
Why you should ever run
but
out.
I'm going to mention my employer because I don't want to get you know say, oh my God, this guy here.
Yeah,
because
I would really worry about
right,
you.
Right.
Right.
So anyway, He puts the gas in. He drives over to, you know, to where I am. We fill up the car. And something else. Like, these newfangled gas cans. What happened in the days years ago
when
the gas can was easy to use? You just open it, close it, and pour the gas in.
When the average man could run out of gas as often as he liked.
Right, because you could just reach, because you just had a gas can. Years ago, too, you just put it in your car.
What people don't know is you had just done this a couple weeks before that with me, and it was a horrific experience in which there was multiple schedules interrupted, there was trips to the gas station, there was cursing, and
there was a lot of cursing.
I really took a look at that and said, well, he'll never let this happen again.
Not true. You did it right. Like, yeah, about 2 weeks later.
That's a different kind of person you are.
Just my own man. Just go about it. I'm a free spirit.
It's one of those, like, you're never going to learn.
No, I'll never now do it again until the next time I do it.
Next week, folks, I'll have to update you. But
I
won't do it
at work, because now I make sure every time I get in the car, or at least every other time, I check the gas gauge to see where the
You should just travel with extra gas or something.
Well, but the problem with that is if you're in an accident, you can explode.
And Jason, are you in a lot of accidents, would you say?
I would say no, I'm not.
I would say more than a few. It's more than a few.
No. Maybe a couple.
And they're so silly. Like, they're all weather related.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there again, it's not my fault. It was the weather. It was the road was wet and it was snowy, icy.
Right. Couldn't be the excessive speed or not paying attention to other things either.
No.
Oh my gosh. So the point of the story is, if a dog man were approaching Jason, A, he'd run out of gas.
Yeah.
B, may not even notice it.
I'd be in real trouble because I wouldn't even see him.
Until he had destroyed Jason and ripped him apart. Like, because you're not even aware of what's happening. So you
Very
are...
Very aware of my surroundings.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember the one time that Morgan told me that you picked her up from ballet and got in somebody else's car?
Yeah. It looked kind of like ours. I didn't even...
And said, Daddy, did you bring me a water? Like, and you looked at her and you go, get out of the car. It's not our car.
What the hell's wrong? Well, no, I tried. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this key? Because I was trying to get the car to turn over and it wouldn't turn over.
Oh, my God.
And Rose, it wasn't our car.
Which is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
You guys out there listening, I'm sure that you have your own stories. So
I don't have these.
I guarantee I'm not the only person that's ever gotten in the wrong car or the only person who's ever sober? Ran a gas before.
Oh,
I was sober.
Yes.
Because, you know.
Yes. Yeah, of course you were, because you were driving our daughter.
Right.
Yeah. But, well, listen, I want to say, if you've had your own dogman encounters, or you want me to feature one that you've heard that you said, you got to really talk to people about that one, you can write to me, write in and contact me, and I'd love to hear it. So.
Or if you have stories about, you know, running out of gas or getting in the wrong car.
Running out of gas and something terrible happens, so that if we tell Jason enough stories, he'll stop doing this.
Yeah.
If we talk about hitchhikers and scary experiences, and you might stop doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's it.
Never again, folks. All right, so let's talk about some things in the news or some interesting scary sidebars. I have a couple to share with you.
I have one.
You have one? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I have one. I don't know if you saw, but I follow Dave Politis's Can-Am project.
You mention this
every time. I'm thinking that maybe people will contact him and he'll call me.
If you're out there...
Call me.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Reach out to us, Dave.
There's a new sort of story, breaking story. A psychic finds a missing Michigan hunter. And... So that was found by a psychic. No, I was going to tell you more about that, but we'll talk about that when we talk about the missing 411 and when we ever do that episode. But, you know, we always talk about psychics and their ability to, you know, we always say, well, why can't they do more, you know, things, helpful things like find victims and everything else. Well, apparently this psychic led them to a body. They found somebody.
Gosh.
I wasn't alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then my next sidebar is mother and daughter report sighting a red-eyed winged demon in Schiller Park, Illinois.
Yes.
Okay.
You nailed that one.
Thank you. I'm really happy. All right. So apparently... The mother witnessed a demon with red eyes and very large wings at around 9 p.m. on October 26th in Schiller Park, Illinois, a village of the outskirts of Chicago's metropolitan area. I don't know if you knew this.
This reminds me of John Keel.
Yes.
Talks about the in the Midwest, like these big bird appearances.
Right. Also, Chicago has been a hot spot for a couple years now. Mothman sightings.
Really?
And people have theories that perhaps it's because of all the gun violence and the heightened
Angst. Perhaps
a warning, violence. An omen. He's gravitating towards it. Something like that.
Maybe it's just like energy. Maybe. This is a big ball of like negativity.
Right, I like that.
Tension and stress and like this. Who knows?
Right. Man. So apparently, this is her report. I'd gone to the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea, and I was filling the tea kettle with water. I heard my mom scream and then call out to me. I dropped what I was doing and ran to her and found her in her room with the lights off. She told me to keep the lights off and to come to the window and look out in the backyard. I looked and saw a large creature with red eyes and very large wings perched on the back of the fence. The mother was whispering something about being a demon in Spanish and started praying as we watched this thing.
Oh, no.
It was perched on the fence and it was looking side to side and kept slowly moving its wings. We looked at it for about a minute before it flapped its wings and flew off. It's a demon. The initial report came from a 32-year-old Hispanic woman who witnessed the creature alongside her 67-year-old mother. Apparently, they were very upset.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
That sounds scary.
It does. It does sound scary. So those are my two scary sidebars. What do you have for us?
I have a great one.
Okay.
Once again, this has to do with animals.
Okay.
Moose in Canada, more specifically in Alberta, are getting extremely lazy. So get this. Here's the bottom line. So moose like to eat salt. They like, you know, lick it naturally. And so these moose lately up there are getting, like I said, very lazy in Alberta now along the road. They have road signs that say, do not let moose lick your car. Reason being, these animals, you know, do not want to, you know, go out there and find the salt. Instead, what they're doing is approaching cars and licking the salt
from the road treatment
off the cars. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's probably not good for them, huh?
Don't want to run them over.
What naturally occurring salt is there?
Salt like a salt flat kind of thing, lakes or something like that. That would, you know, salt flats.
One prevent a moose from licking your car?
What do you mean, how does one prevent?
Yeah, it's just don't let them.
No, people are stopping to like, oh, there's a moose, let's get the camera, take the...
It's okay, you can come lick my car.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And so, you know...
But when a moose comes near your car and starts licking, what are you supposed to do? Honk? Make a noise?
Keep going. Don't let him approach your car. Oh. Like, if it was a bear, would it approach your car?
No, because I'm scared he would eat me, but I'm not scared of a moose. That's the point.
These animals are like, hey, let's take a shortcut.
Well, I know what the moose is doing.
Let's not go and find the salt.
Sure.
Let's wait. Like, the salt's going to come to us.
They're smart enough to know.
Wow. And so, you know, Canada's like, hey, guys, when you're at the parks, let's not feed the moose.
Salt licks.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't do that. I'm okay with that.
Animal of the week.
Animal. If that's what you should call this, animal of the week, because you don't even care if it's scary. You just want to tell me something about an alien.
Like the animal stories.
About an animal.
Well, that is scary because you get hit because if you ran it over.
You know what's scary? If they start eating the trim of your car.
If they started getting up on your car.
Scratching it
all
up. Like,
imagine then if they crawled up on you. Like, they're huge.
Yeah, I don't like that. All right.
Anyway.
What else do you have to tell us this week before we wrap things up?
Me?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, because we're going to go away. We'll be we will be celebrating with our immediate family in our home and wearing masks. No, I don't know. We're going to suck all the joy we can from this Thanksgiving holiday because you have to find joy when you can. That's my piece of advice. You have to be safe about it, but you know what's safe for your family and what makes sense to you. And so do that. We're going to enjoy our new puppy and our family and have really good food and just take a much needed rest and hiatus. So we'll be back with you. We'll be back again next week for something scary and something spooky for you guys.
Two things. One, if you live in Canada, let the moose lick your car.
Perfect.
And two, guys, please pay attention to your gas gauges. It's a big holiday, full of travel.
Sure.
Make sure that you've got
plenty of gas. You're not supposed to travel. But if you are traveling, don't run out of gas, because that's a big old problem.
It's a no-no.
Okay. And we will be back next week for another episode of The Couple That Scares Together.
Yes, we will.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, guys.